ladies and gentlemen, good evening. This is Harry Von Zell speaking to you for the makers of that good gulf. And out on the coast, the one and only Will Rogers is watching for the signal that will bring Hollywood to New York. Now, all the way to California, ladies and gentlemen, Will Rogers and his famous alarm clock broadcasting from Los Angeles, California.
Thank you very much. We're here an hour earlier today. It seems kind of funny to be with everybody advised to spend and the government spending everything, and then it seems sort of funny for somebody to save a little daylight nowadays. Put a little of it on the budget or something. You remember my act on the radio last Sunday night? Well, even if you don't remember it, it don't matter very much. In fact, I'd about forgot it myself. But as well as I can remember it, I introduced a plan. It was a plan to end all plans. That's what it was. Well, it looked like it had the very opposite effect. This last week has been one of the biggest plan weeks I've known of in anything. It's the biggest plan week the country has suffered in years, this last one. And in fact, I think they could have named it Plan Week. Now, one of the big things that President Roosevelt made his original hit with was when he said, "If I'm wrong, I'll be the first to admit it." So when I say we should end all plans, it looks like I'm wrong and I'm the first to admit it. So it looks like we got to have plans, and I've really got to get busy on one. I won't give it to you today, but I'm going to dig one up. If you want a plan, brother, I can sure give you one now. I presented facts and figures to show you that plans didn't work. Now, I did that last Sunday, see? But do you think that discouraged the planners? No, not on your life. It just seemed to encourage them, look like. Right on top of my advice to not plan, well, it come a plan from Secretary Morgenthau, who's Secretary of the Treasury. Father used to be an ambassador to Turkey, and a fine old gentleman and a good friend of mine. But this Morgenthau, the young fella, very able man, he come out with a plan to put a bigger and better tax on these big estates, these tremendous big inheritance taxes, that is, men who died. And on an estate of, say, $10 million, where the government will take, it takes about 90% of it, and then giving the offspring 10. And after Mr. Morgenthau, I'll get through with him. And then on a state of $100 million and $200 million or $1 billion and like that, where the government just takes all of that and notifies the heir, says, "Your father died a pauper here today." He died a pauper here today, and he's being buried by the MEBA, that's the Millionaires Emergency Burial Association. It's the kind of a branch of the RFC. Now, mind you, I've got to tell it all this. I don't hold any brief or any great grief either for a man that dies and leaves millions and hundreds of millions and a billion. I don't do that. But I don't believe Mr. Morgenthau's plan will work, because he gives figures in there that shows what this new inheritance tax would bring in every year. He says, on 1936, we'd get so much in 1938, all right along, see? And he gives these figures to show what it'd bring in every year. That is, as long as the Democrats stay in. And he seems to know just who's going to die each year and how much they're going to leave. Now, brother, that's planning, ain't it, when you figure out that. Now suppose, for instance, he's got scheduled to die J.P. Morgan. He's got him scheduled to die on a certain year. You can bet they can arrange it. They'll have him die while the Democrats are in. So, so they can get the benefit. So they get the benefit of that estate anyhow, see? Now, according to plans, J.P. Morgan, he's got to die in order for Mr. Morgan's house to reach his quota for that year. Now, while I think Mr. Morgan is a nice man, I never met him but once at the time when he was on trial in Washington and he had the midget on his knee. And I met him there, but he's a very nice fellow and very amiable, nice fellow. I don't hear from him. It's very seldom, but I think his patriotism maybe would compare with some of the rest of us. But whether he'd be patriotic enough to want to die on this year's schedule or not. Just to make Morgenthau's budget balance, I mean, that's asking a good deal of a man to just die right off so I can balance my budget. I mean, you know, he might be rather unreasonable and not want to do it. As I say, old man is contrary, you know what I mean? And rich old men is awful contrary. They've had their own way so long that they can't. So in order for Mr. Morgenthau's plan to work out, I'd say for it to work out 100%, he's got to bump these wealthy guys off or something. Well, now, that's the government's doing everything else, but, you know, but there is a humane society, I mean. You know, there was another big plan developed during the week. Did you read about Amy McPherson meeting Gandhi in India? Yes, Amy, she had a date with the Mahatma over there. Yes, she had a date with him. It was what the French call rendezvous. Well, I'd like to have had the talk and movie rights to the conversation between Mahatma and Amy. I'd love to have heard what they said, you know. I think Mahatma wanted her to stay in India and help him with the untouchables, and Amy says, "Brother Mahatma, you ought to come to Hollywood and, you know, and try to get near Garbo and meet some of our unapproachables." Well, speaking of plans, I will say this for old Huey. He didn't break out with any, he didn't hatch any new plans during the week. He's just sitting on the same eggs he was. And now, a little later on, to be exact, I think it's 7 o'clock our time out here. And I guess that makes it about 4 hours difference today with the thing. 11 hours in the east and all. Well, you know what time it is. But tonight, later on, the President of our United States is going to be on the air. He hasn't spoken to us since last September. Well, he spoke to a lot of people, but not us. I mean, he must have something important to say because he don't just go shooting off every time he sees a microphone like these other candidates do. They can't pass a microphone without yowling in it. And I don't know what he's going to talk about. Maybe talk about Mae West. Everybody else is. In fact, I bet he'd rather talk about Mae than some of the things that he'll feel obliged to talk on tonight. You could explain Mae's husbands easier than he could the NRA, I'll bet. And you know, speaking of Mae, I bet there's nothing that would embarrass a successful person, you know, any more than having some old husband show up on you at the wrong time. Just when she thought she had him in Brooklyn, he showed up. The President is liable to talk about catching fish off Astor's yacht. He's been down there, but I bet he don't talk on that. Well, he never did catch anything on that old tub. There's fish in the ocean, but that yacht gets theirs out of the fish market. They used to have photographers. Remember, they used to have photographers. Just did nothing but just follow our presidents around, just to get pictures of them when they fish, you know? Remember that? All around. They just catch some fish. Even Mr. Coolidge used to drag in a little inoffensive little perch now and again, you know? Poor little fish, he'd drag him in just for the Sunday supplement, and Mr. Hoover'd go out and hook some old mudcat for a hungry lamb sometimes, and all these. But there's been three photographers starved to death during the Roosevelt administration, waiting for this Astor's yacht to approach even a crawdad anywhere. They ought to put skis on that Astor yacht and go fur hunting. That's it, Brackett. Mr. Blythe, you remember your history, don't you? You remember how some of our big states were founded. He might talk about the bonus, the president might. He's kind of switched over on that, and he has a plan of paying it. I never saw as many schemes put forward, you know, whether they want to pay it and all of them. The soldiers want to receive it, but it's just the way. Everybody's got their own way and want to do it. And I don't know how they can have so many different schemes when it's paying the same bunch of men and the same bunch of money. Look to me like they'll have to do with a bonus like we have to do with everything else now to get anybody to take it. They'll have to wrap it in cellophane. But well, you may speak on that, and I'll touch lightly on it because I don't want to interfere with anything he would say. Mine is just a little preliminary introductory remark to his. Of course, he's liable to touch on some of these new schemes to spend his $5 billion. You can't spend five. Now, that's something you've got to have a plan for. You can't spend $5 billion in the old-fashioned way. I bet you couldn't put a strong man in a treasury warehouse full of $100 bills and give him a scoop shovel, and he couldn't shovel out that much money in the rest of his life, you know? We couldn't spell $1 billion, much less realize it or count it or anything, but we're a nation, we learn awful fast, and it won't be long now till we'll be working on the word trillion. Trillion, that follows billion and then trillion. You read in the paper, Congress has just been asked to appropriate $2 trillion to relieve the descendants of a race of people called Wall Streeters. The paper will go further on to say, this is a worthy cause, and no doubt this small appropriation will be made, as these are descendants of a once proud race, and once proud race, and after all, they're wards of the government. Then they got another plan. Now they got another plan. They figured out that what's the matter with this country is, I bet you couldn't guess it in a million years. They couldn't guess this plan. They figured out what's the matter with the country and going to spend $500 million on it. I bet you couldn't figure out what it is. Well, you know what it is? Well, it's if the people try to cross a railroad track without looking both ways. That's what it is. It's going to fix the grade crossings. That's what that is. Well, you say, the problem is to teach the people to look both ways. Drive up the track and look up and down and cross. Well, that's exactly what's the matter with us, even when it don't apply to railroad trains. Everybody looked one way in 1928 and 29 around there. That's when the train hit all of us, remember? There wasn't a soul in the United States that looked both ways then. But we certainly, and now we've gone to the other extreme. We're so scared now that we drive up to the track and we won't do anything. We're just standing there. We just stand there and look and we won't cross the track at all. We even won't trust our own eyesight. If a train goes by and it looks like everything is okay and we might be able to cross, we won't do it. We're so scared that we think it might turn around, come back and hit us again. That's what the president is liable to talk on. It's to try to get us to quit standing there looking and shaking and being scared that something's going to happen to us. And he'll tell us it's the same track, you know. It's the same old track and the same, you know, they've been crossing it for years. And all we have to do is just to use some judgment and carry on just as we have been for years. But we won't believe him. He's got to go to work, and now he's got to build a runway over the top of all these railroads. Either over the top or under the bottom, and get that under there. They get that all done. Of course, I think it's a good plan. Mind you, I'm not against it. I think it's a fine plan. It'll give a lot of people work and do a lot of things, although I don't think it'll do everything that it's supposed to do. I don't think it'll save all the lives. Of course, I think this grade crossing thing, you just rush right over the grade crossing and right on down to the... and get hit at the first intersection by a bus. That's what you'll do. See? that's one thing about buses. There's one thing about a bus, that they're bigger than trains are now. And death is more sudden with a bus. When you get hit with that, there's no lingering illness with that at all. The buses come so much oftener than trains do anyhow, you know. A lot of times, people have had to wait pretty near a day to get hit by a train. You know, it comes so seldom. But buses, there's so many of them where you can just get that pretty any time. And I bet you never did read too of a train ever hitting a car with just one person, just a driver in there, just one lone passenger. No, they just wait. They just wait till the car gets loaded, and then they hit everybody. And they be, oh yeah, wait a minute, I don't see you. Well, now next Sunday I'm going to try to dig you up. I'm going to have, if you want plans, brother, I've got one. Good time, thank you.